Welcome to A Higher Branch, a source of practical and powerful information for busy people dedicated to boosting their personal health and professional performance. I'm your host, Sam McCall. Hello and welcome to this week's episode of A Higher Branch. Now, a few months back, I was lucky enough to have been invited by our faculty member and my good friend, Mark Bunn, on his podcast to talk about journaling. And to me, this topic is so important. And it was one that I was going to record for you in 2021, straight after my first New Year's podcast. If you recall, last week, I talked about the 8 rules to live by in 2021. But I also mentioned that to hold yourself accountable, journaling was a very important aspect. And to me, this topic is super important. So I was lucky enough to have recorded this with Mark Bunn, and I, for one, journal every day. And to say that it has changed my life for the better is an absolute understatement. So I wanted to share my interview with Mark with you all so you could also benefit from the skills of journaling. I promise you it is so simple but so effective and will only take you a few minutes every morning and every evening. And once it becomes a habit, it'll be one of those daily things like brushing your teeth or getting dressed, but it will be so, so powerful for managing your life. It is the ultimate toolkit in your life strategy. You know, a lot of us have business strategies and work strategies, but we mustn't forget to have a strategy for life. And journaling provides that daily clarity for your life strategy. It's the daily check-in with that strategy. So you can pivot and you can hold yourself accountable. So with it being the start of a new year, there truly is no better time to learn that new daily habit. So sit back and enjoy this interview between Mark Bunn and myself.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to this episode where we're going to dive deep into all things journaling. If you were like me up until about 12 months ago, you may never have journaled much in your life. But thanks to my next guest, the great Sam McCall, he has inspired me to not only do journaling as a daily practice, but actually given some really practical how-tos, how we actually do journaling in a way that maximizes our success from it. And I think if you knew how many top-level world success individuals journal as a daily habit or practice, you'll be inspired to do the same. So it's a great pleasure to have my very, very good mate, friend, buddy, and colleague Sam McCall join us. Sam, how are you?
Awesome. Awesome, Mark. Really good to be here. Love talking to you as always. And hello to all your lucky listeners who get to listen to your podcast every week or so.
Excellent. Well, they have been lucky because some of the feedback we've got from the podcast is one of the most enjoyable and practical episodes of all was the first time you were on my podcast where you spoke about a higher branch and the 8 areas of life and how to sort of integrate that framework into living a really healthy, balanced life. And we actually touched on in that episode this idea of journaling, but now I want to really dive deep into it and just pick your brain on how people can do that and maximize it. So taking a step back, can you first just give us a snapshot, big picture of the importance of journaling? Why would we spend 5, 10, in your case, 20 minutes, you know, sometimes twice a day, journaling? What are the benefits?
Well, first of all, I just want to give it some context by saying I'm now in my 57th year on this planet. And since the age of 19, I have been journaling. And for people that are listening who are thinking, oh, I'm going to zone out now because oh, I've heard this stuff about journaling and, you know, Dear Diary and all that, just bear with us, because I'm going to explain to you what journaling is really about. And I can tell you, I'm blessed to have an amazing life. I materially and spiritually, I feel just so blessed. I have beautiful people around me. I have beautiful things around me. And I don't apologize for my material success, because I think your outer world reflects your inner world. And I can honestly say, hand on heart, that the key to my success has been the journaling that I do. It's the conversation that I have with my inner self. And I know journaling is just as difficult as meditation.
You know, I know a lot of people, including myself, who give up on meditation and they go back to it. You give up and you go back to it, and that's okay. The same thing with journaling. If you're listening now and say, I've tried journaling and, you know, I've given up on it, or I haven't looked at that journal for a while, or I haven't bought a journal. What is a journal? We're going to do a deep dive into it, because a lot of people get really sucked into that, you know, the monitor, the screen of their life, thinking they are the storyline. They are their thoughts. But what journaling does, it allows you to notice your thoughts and step back and realize that you are the writer, director, and executive producer of your life. Mm. And the only time you can do that is when you journal. Now, I must admit that when life is going so awesome for me, physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually, I get complacent. And I've gone through these periods where I stop meditating and I stop journaling. Or I'll open a journal and I say, yeah, bloody good day, right? Life is rosy. But once I start explaining to you what journaling is really all about, it's like saying, I'm going to go to a new destination and heck, I'm just going to wing it. I'm not going to look at the Gregories, for those of you old enough, and I'm not going to look at the sat nav for the millennials out there. I'm just going to wing it. And in life, you just can't wing it. So the benefits, to answer your question, is that it gives you a sense of control. And it gives you a sense that even though you're going through challenges, that you're on top of things. You've got a plan. You've got an operating system to follow. Because life isn't about perfection. It's about progress. Life isn't about waking up happy every day. And if you're not, then, hey, suddenly the world is terrible and I'm depressed and I'm suffering and you play the victim. No, if you're not experiencing any adversity or hardship in your life, then you're not really living. You're living what I call a nothing life, a numb life. Now, when you journal with yourself, the benefit is that you see things very clearly. And once I start explaining, you start processing your thoughts and feelings in a way that you become your own therapist. Now, I'm not saying, you know, don't ever use a therapist, because we all need a coach, whether you're an ex-AFL player like Mark or a business leader like myself. We need coaches. We need guidance. You know, I know how to train, but I have a PT, right? But your PT, your coach, whoever you're using to help you on your life's journey, they can't help you if you're not helping yourself. And the way to help yourself is to have that conversation with yourself twice a day. The benefits are material success. If you're in business, the benefits are your business is more than likely going to be more successful. If you're in a relationship, more than likely that your relationship is going to be a lot more positive. It's going to be a lot more intimate physically and emotionally. If you have friends, then your friendship groups are going to be a lot more positive. You're going to have a lot more fun with your friends. Mm. So you look at all areas of your life, all eight areas of your life, using the framework at a higher branch. The benefits to you is that you're going to be climbing higher in each of them. You're going to be climbing higher in each of them because the journaling allows, it's like an operating system for climbing higher. And yes, we fall off a branch sometimes and we get hurt, but journaling allows you to get back up and go to the next step, whether, you know, it's a failed project at work or a failed business even, or a failed relationship, or, you know, climbing to a branch which yields a little fruit, you know, a relationship you've started that it's a bit stale, you know. But most people, when that happens, when they fall off that metaphorical branch, or when they, you know, climb to a branch that yields a little fruit, they stop climbing.
Yeah.
And that's tragic. So journaling allows you to quickly see. It's like a mirror. It's like a reflection. When I journal, it's a mirror into my emotions and thoughts. And you can't, pardon the French, bullshit yourself, right? you can bullshit others. You can even bullshit a therapist.
Yeah.
But when you're journaling, you can't BS yourself. It's just impossible. You know, so they're the benefits. I think the benefits, very clear. You get that sense of control. So yes, I am feeling bad. Yes, I did fall off that relationship or that project or that business. But no, I've got this. I've got this. And that's what journaling does. The benefits will become more and more apparent as we have this discussion and I talk to you about the method of journaling that I do.
I love it because I was just about to dive into that. And what I thought, rather than going into the eight areas of life, anyone listening who's interested, go back to the earlier podcast we did with Sam and he'll detail the eight areas of life. But from that groundwork of people knowing, you know, what's important in their life, what I love about your journaling process is you're combining not just the head, you know, not the rational, conventional business planning and life planning, and but you also incorporate the heart, you know, and you've got the two sides of your journal. Can you sort of, go Absolutely. Into that using, as you said, the method you use? Someone gets up in the morning, sits down to journal. How can they practically do it with your method?
Okay, so the journaling process or the journaling technique I use is pretty much the operating system for a higher branch. So we have an operating system for our software, we have an operating system at work, but we don't have an operating system for our life, which means that no matter what you learn in life, if you can't implement it, if you don't have an operating system to implement it, then the more information you have, the more things you want to do in life, the more overwhelmed you'll feel. So I come across people who are anxious and depressed, not because they lack direction in life or lack something to do, it's they want to do too much and they don't know in what order to do it, how to do it, how to deal with failure. So the eight areas of life is the what part of the operating system. And that's the easy part. What do I need to focus on in life? And that's your health, your intimate relationship, that's love, family, work, friendship, learning, wealth, and charity. Mm. And each one of those eight areas, as we covered in a previous podcast, fulfills a fundamental human need, which means if you neglect one, then you diminish your life force by that one. Now, journaling helps you climb higher in each one of those areas. When I say climb higher, I'm always using the metaphor in my book, A Higher Branch. And journaling helps you climb higher. So I journal in a five-step pattern, which is the how. That's my second framework that I use at A Higher Branch. So how do you climb higher in each of them? Because it's okay for me to say, you know, Mark, you need to climb higher in these eight areas. Don't neglect them. Mm. I discovered that framework at the age of 19, but it wasn't until 2006 that I realized that I wasn't climbing higher with a congruent mind and a congruent heart. And that's when I then designed the second framework, which is the circle of conscious living, I call it, which is the how do you climb higher? And the only reason I discovered it is because I journaled, right, back then. Albeit, I journaled in a unstructured way. I didn't have the operating system, but I still journaled. As I said, I've been journaling since the age of 19. And that's the beautiful thing about journaling. It doesn't have to be perfect. So it doesn't have to be the journaling technique that I'm sharing today. It can be anything that you want. But certainly the journaling technique that I'm going to share will really open your eyes to a methodology that you can just follow every day, especially if you're a busy person who doesn't have time just to sit there and stare at a page. But so in 2006, I became lost. I lost my way in life. When I say I lost my way in life, I mean metaphorically. I achieved a certain level of success. And then I had those moments where I thought, why? What for? What does it all mean? Mm. And I stagnated a little bit. And I lost interest, lost drive in my relationships, at work. I stopped trying as hard. My clients said to me, oh, what's the matter? You don't seem yourself. Hmm. And it's amazing. I always tell people it's harder to manage success than it is to manage failure. I love failure because failure is like, get back up, try something new. It's a journey. Yeah. But for some of us, once we achieve a certain level of success, we can sit on that branch and say, well, I'm there. I don't need to keep climbing. But you know, funny thing about depression is that it doesn't discriminate.
Yeah.
Rich or poor, right? You know, I've coached people who are ultra wealthy that are suffering from depression. And I know poor people would look at that person and say, dude, how can you be suffering from depression if you've got $50 million in the bank? It's because when you stop climbing higher in each of the eight areas of life, you stagnate.
Yeah.
What people often say is a chemical imbalance, which leads to depression, is nothing more than just stagnation of the human spirit. So the circle of conscious living is really the framework that I use for the journaling. And it goes as something like this. Journaling has to be done at the right time and with the right frame of mind, which means that you need to get into that right frame of mind. How do you do that? So you should journal twice a day. So I journal 20 minutes in the morning, 20 minutes in the evening. So the first hour and the last hour, it's the bookend, right? So you bookend your day with these three rituals. And for me, I don't care what happens in between, right? Because what happens in between is life, right? But if I bookend my day with those three rituals, and one of them is journaling, then I'm in control of how I think and how I feel. I can't control external circumstances, but I can control how I think and feel. So for me, the right time of the day is the first hour and the last hour. Now, it can be a 5-minute journal, can be 20-minute. Yeah. So generally speaking, when I give keynotes, I say there's three rituals in the morning, 20 minutes each, three rituals in the evening, 20 minutes each. And a lot of corporate executives look at me and they have a smirk on their face and they say, that's 2 hours of my day, Sam. You know, there's no way I have 2 hours. And that's a question that people have to ask themselves to say, well, are you prioritizing you? Are you prioritizing a meeting about some particular spreadsheet that you're looking into? What's more important to you, the spreadsheet or your life? And for me, it's a no-brainer. And now that we're working more from home, I have more time in the day to do those things, including journaling. But going back to those three rituals, before journaling, I do movement, meditation, then journaling. And it's important that I do them in that particular order. The order may be different for you. Some people like to meditate as soon as they wake. For me, when I wake, my cortisol levels are a little bit spiked and I'm ready to go. So I need movement. So I do a minimum of 20 minutes of usually cardio. So it'll be cycling or running or just a brisk walk. Or sometimes if I don't have time, I'll do a 4-minute Tabata routine, you know, which is 20 seconds on, 10 seconds off. And you'd be surprised how you can get your lymphatic system going in 4 minutes. Once I move and I've calmed that cortisol or I've neutralized it, then I step into meditation and I find meditation a lot easier. That was the game changer for me. When I couldn't meditate, it's because my body wanted to move. So once I did the movement first, I could meditate. Now, in meditation in the morning, so we're sticking with the morning here, and it's important because the journaling is different from the morning to the evening. So my morning meditation is visualizing after going through, you know, centering myself with the breath and calming myself and noticing my surroundings. Then I start meditating on what I want to achieve for the eight areas of life. Okay. So then when I come out of that meditation, I'm primed for journaling, right? So the journaling in the morning looks like this, and it follows the 5-step circle of conscious living. Step one, what are your goals and dreams in all 8 areas of your life for that day? Goals and dreams sound so grand, you know, but my goal for the day could be, for example, in the tree of love is to be intimate with my wife, right? So I can put that down. That's my goal and dream. For work, it could be a particular meeting that I want to achieve a certain objective. So I go through the 8 areas. So in my journal, this is what I'm writing. I write health, my goal for the day, right? Maybe it's to get rid of the pain in my leg for the day or to do a 5K run. And I go through each of the 8 areas, write the goals. Step two is I write down the actions that I need to do for the day. So one of the actions, for example, in the Tree of Love, and I wrote it this morning, so I said, well, I'm going to give, you know, my wife a massage when I get home. Right. So I'm going to do the bath, run the bath, give her a massage. And that's a way to show that I care for her. And it leads to our emotional connection and hopefully a physical one as well.
Bonus.
But that's not my motive. But you get my drift. So in the morning, the journaling is goals and dreams for the day, step two, the actions in each of the 8 areas. So I have actions. One of the trees of life is the tree of charity. So one of the actions I have for today is I'm actually connecting with one of my staff members who working from home in Victoria is doing it a bit tough. She's sort of gone off the radar a little bit. And people are saying, look, she's not coping. So that's just my opportunity, you know, to say, are you okay? Is there anything, you know, we can do to help? So now imagine going through life without the 8 areas of your life as your guide and those first 2 simple steps. Now, these 5 steps in the circle of conscious living, it's nothing that you haven't heard, but it's in the sequence that I love. And it's the synergy between the how and the what. Yeah. Because you can also, if you don't know the what, then you don't know what to climb higher in life. Because I know people who say, oh yeah, I have goals and dreams and I take action, and I'll get to step 3, 4, and 5 in a second. But I say, yeah, goals and dreams and what? Actions and what? And people will say, oh, pay off my mortgage, buy my convertible.
Yeah.
That's not life. Yeah. And this is something we've covered previously in a podcast you appeared, you know, on my show, where we talked about this global consciousness, which has nothing to do with anything material.
Yeah.
So morning time, it's basically goals and dreams in each of them, each of the 8 areas, and then the actions. So people are thinking, okay, what's the difference between goals and dreams? And this is important. Dreams live in your heart. Goals live in your mind. Mm. So I write my dreams because when I'm in meditation, I do visualization meditation before the journaling. What I'm doing there is I'm saying, what does the perfect day look like for me today? Yeah. I'm not talking goals and dreams for my life at the macro level. You know, have a business that turns over this and, you know, travel to all parts of the world with my partner. That's your bucket list. Leave that alone, right? This is life is lived every day in a 24-hour period. Every 24-hour period is a birth and death experience. You wake up, it's birth. You go to sleep, it's death, right? So dreams live in your heart. So when you visualize something that you really want for the day, what that happens, it brings passion to the surface and you feel like you get excited. And one of the traps for people who are sitting listening and thinking, okay, I'm learning about journaling, is when you get to that exciting phase, don't close your journal. Yeah. Many people say, oh yeah, I got it. I'm going to just close the journal and just, you know, wired for action. No, you have to have goals and dreams in each of the 8 areas of life. You can't just have them at work or with friendship or with your partner or with health. You know, the typical one for health is people want to go to the gym and say, oh, well, I want to go smash it out in the gym because I've been watching David Goggins on Instagram. Persist and say it has to be in each one of those 8 areas. What does your optimal day look like? Now, the reason why I do journaling after meditation is because during meditation, you start getting this very clear, you know, vision of what you want, and it ignites the heart. Mm. And what happens is then there's a partnership between the heart and mind, because once the heart has this passion that it gets ignited for something in each one of those areas, 8 areas of life for that particular day, then the mind's reticular activation system starts seeking out the tasks that you have to perform, the goals you have to achieve, right, to perform to achieve the dream. So why that's important is because the second step in a circle of conscious living is the action part. What actions are you going to take? Yeah. People have dreams without goals, don't know what action to take. You need a combination, the partnership between the heart and the mind. Unfortunately, a lot of millennials now who are stuck on Instagram are always living in their heart because they get excited about these memes and these 60-second motivational videos by greats such as David Goggins or yourself who posts. But then they don't go to the next step and say, well, okay, what do I have to do? What are the actions? So the mind is important, but the heart is also important because if it's just a goal and you don't have the dreams in your heart, then when it comes to a time to take action, fear gets in the way, fear of failure, fear of rejection. If you're only living in the mind, you're going to stop. You're not going to take action. But the passion that in your heart brings courage to the surface to overcome your fears. So when you're writing down in your journal for each of the 8 areas of life, write down your dreams first, the visual, no matter how stupid it may sound, it's your journal. You can write whatever, right? And then write down, okay, to achieve that dream, I have to say one of your dreams for the day is high energy throughout the day without reliance on coffee. And then you want to have an excellent night's sleep early and you want to have a great sleep where you get the optimal deep sleep, optimal REM. I mentioned that because that's often one of my goals. So then your goals are, okay, I'm going to get sunlight today in the morning on my eyes in the first 45 minutes. I'm going to do some sun gazing. I'm going to go to the beach and just go for a walk if it's too cold, or go in the water if you're brave enough. just to, you know, cleanse your aura. And then I say, okay, I'm going to do some running or cycling, and then I'm going to do some meditation, or I'm going to call a friend in need because that makes you feel good physically. That's good for your health. Or I'm going to work a solid 6 hours and be productive because that's equally good for your health. You know, what's good for your health isn't just a nutrition, exercise, and meditation or sleep. It's also the things you do that give you meaning, that makes you feel good emotionally. So the point I'm making for your morning journaling is that it has to be both the heart and the mind, because it's the combination of both. The heart without the mind is directionless. It's like ideation without execution is delusion, I once heard. And the mind without the heart, you're going to hit the roadblock of fear. You're in a meeting. You're going to fear speaking up because you fear being ridiculed, you know. But if you have passion, the heart's involved, you've got that clear vision for your day at work, for your health, then you'll break through that fear and you'll take action. So that's what my morning journaling looks like before I get into the evening side. And the,
Just before you do that, one of the best things that I've learned from you around this journaling is the eight areas. You know, I was that traditional health, work, you know, like everything, and then everything else is in the background, whereas the eight areas with the journaling really flushed out and sort of nourished more of the learning and the friendship type areas. So yeah, it was really great. So yeah, no, let's move through to the end of the day. So we've gone about our day, we've tried to implement things. I'm sure we've succeeded in some, haven't in others. What do we do at the end of the day?
Actually, you raised a very good point that I should mention, that I remind people in my coaching, because a lot of people who are time poor, that journaling in the morning, I get them to use a life blending technique. So sometimes you look at the eight areas of life and you think, geez, I don't have time to do everything in each one of those areas. One of them has to be compromised, either my relationship or my friendships or even my health or charity, what's that, you know, or wealth creation, what's that? So the best way to do it is to blend. So for example, today I'm at work today. It doesn't look like I'm dressed for it, but this is how we dress now in the COVID era. So I'm in the office today. Now at lunchtime, I'm going to go for a jog with one of my team members. Now, so we'll be climbing the tree of friendship on that jog, tree of health. We'll be, you know, getting sunshine and moving. We're also going to be brainstorming a particular project. So we're climbing the tree of work. And sometimes there's that opportunity for contribution because they're listening to me and I'm listening to them. And so you're climbing five areas of life in the one go. So when you're journaling, think of, be creative. Think of what tasks can I do to be able to be climbing, you know, two or more of these eight areas of life. For example, if you work with your partner, you're climbing the tree of love, friendship, health. So imagine what I just said about going for a jog and brainstorming. Imagine doing that with your partner. So you've ticked another box. So try and blend your life in all eight areas when you're journaling and be creative about that. I can't think of any other examples, but I'm sure there'd be heaps of examples that you can think of yourself.
So a colleague of mine called Kirsty Spraggan, who now lives in LA, but we've spoken together, and she used to call it furking. It was where you blend work with fun, you know, in some way, whether it's a friendship fun or so. Furking was a good one too, but I love the life blend. It's a great principle.
I love that. But the prerequisite for people who are listening, the prerequisite is you need to be your authentic self across all eight areas of life. I know some people, you know, that I've coached in the past, that they have a face for friendships, a face for their partner, a face for their kids, a face at work, and it's draining. It's exhausting. So just be yourself across all eight areas of life. And people love that authenticity. It's the only way you can blend, really. And by blending, you save a lot more hours in the day, let me tell you. Instead of spending an hour in the gym, an hour with your partner, an hour at work brainstorming, imagine doing that, you know, 4 hours into the 1 hour at lunchtime. That's a no-brainer for me. for all the productivity nerds out there.
Hacks, productivity hack, life blend.
I'm a productivity nerd. That's what I call myself. I'm obsessed with efficiencies.
So
how does journaling look like then for the second part of the day? I talked about bookending the day, morning, night. So I repeat this, the first two rituals, movement, meditation again. Yep. But this time the movement is different. The movement that I do in the morning is usually very intense. The movement at night may be just a leisurely stroll, right? Depending on what stress you're trying to sublimate. But I usually don't like to do high intensity exercise at night because I'm winding down. I know my cortisol levels are not high. And you've got to be true to, you know, as Mark talks about, to what nature, the rhythms of nature, you know, the sun is setting, the birds are finding a place on the branches. It's not time for you to go and smash out a 20-kilometer intensity session. So I usually go for a walk, and on that walk you can't help it, when you're walking in nature, I'm lucky enough to live near some, either the beach or the Ku'ring'ai Chase National Park, and things start bubbling up to the surface. What happened during the day? Remember the first two steps in the circle of conscious living that you journaled in the morning is forward thinking. It's like, what am I passionate about? And what are my goals? And what are the actions I'm going to take? But during the day, before you get to the second bookend, stuff happens, right? What happened after you took that action in the tree of love? What happened when you took that action in the tree of work at that meeting? What happened when you called that friend in the tree of the friendship to say, are you okay? What happened? What happened when you exercised in the gym, at lunchtime, if you did that, and you injured yourself? How did you feel about that? So the first journaling technique is forward thinking, which is action. The second part, the end of the day, is reflection. Makes sense, right? We got to reflect on what happened in the day, process any thoughts and feelings, because after we take action, we are not always going to get our way, either externally or internally. And this is why journaling is important to be bookended in these two methods, because if most people who know something about personal development will do the first bit, the goals and dreams and take action and But then what happens in that day? So the walk brings things to the surface. Then you go into deep meditation, which is all relaxation. Nothing about visualizing your goals and dreams for the day. It's just about connecting with the breath. That's what I do anyway. And, sometimes I'll do a mantra, right? Or a sound or a hum, or, I get that hum in my body just to bring everything back down to nature's, wavelength. And out of that meditation, I can guarantee it. And this is what scares a lot of people off during meditation. Sometimes anxiety will come to the surface, and this is when journaling is most powerful, after those two things, after the movement, the meditation. Then you get in your journal and say, stuff is bothering me here. Something's bothering me. So maybe you were lining up for a coffee and the person behind, the counter served somebody else who got there after you, and that made you feel bad. I'm mentioning little things like that because you'd be surprised how many little emotional cuts that we experience that we don't process. This is the power of journaling, because if you don't process these emotions, if you don't process these negative thoughts that you've had during the day, if you don't process the failures you've experienced, you'll wake up the next day with a fear mindset, and you'll stop journaling, and you'll stop meditating, and you'll stop moving. And that's sad. You don't want to live in that lost state. And that's why you've got to be very diligent to make sure that you have those rituals in the morning and in the evening. That's why it's hard for me, Mark, to talk about journaling to the exclusion of movement and meditation, because you need those two things to prime yourself for journaling. And I'll be the first to put my hand up and say, every now and then, especially if my routine has gone a little bit off, or if I'm on holidays or what have you, I might miss, my meditation or my journaling typically. And I will get lost. I will feel it, but that's okay. If you've been there, I've been there, but I know what to return to. So I return to the meditation. I return to the journaling. And I say, Sam, you got lost. You're back on track now. So one of the things I've heard you say in meditation is the key to meditation is not having total control of your thoughts and the breath. It's knowing when to return when your mind wanders. Is that right? Was that yourself that I think I heard you say?
Might have been a Tom, the great Tom Sullivan might be one of his principles. But everyone has different forms. So the point you just, before I forget, is combining it with the movement and the meditation or that, you know, whatever daily practice is with journaling, I think is really profound because, as you say, it's like writer's block in a sense. You know, we know as writers that if you're not in the right mindset, in the right sort of environment, you don't get the maximum results. So I love that sort of combining the three. And what I'd really love to even to wrap it up with one final question. We spoke earlier about the difficulties you're going through in, you know, with people in Victoria, people that work with you, really struggling. And maybe I didn't frame it very well at the start of this podcast where I spoke about really high level performers consistently journaling as one of their sort of daily life hacks. But what about for people that are really struggling at the moment? Some people are really doing it tough. I mentioned on your podcast about one of the things that they can possibly do is journaling because they don't have that avenue to express with a loved one if they're not, you know, living with family, they're living by themselves, they're not being able to go to the office and the workplace to, you know, connect with colleagues and co-workers. What value can journaling do for people that are maybe really doing it tough at the moment? And if, is there any other sort of tips or tools they can do to try and help them out of that sort of situation?
Absolutely. Journaling is the therapy that you don't have to pay for. Mm. I mean, that's what journaling is. Most people that are listening right now have a lot of innate wisdom. You know, 1,000 years ago, there was no accredited psychologists and doctors. We were all experts in our own self. And it's time that, you know, we take ownership over ourselves and not outsource that responsibility to others. So everyone that's listening has the same inner intelligence. In fact, they know themselves more than any other therapist. So, you know, if you can afford a therapist, by all means. But I've seen people that have breakthroughs from journaling, you know, after a few days, whereas they'll go through months of therapy before they have any breakthrough. Mm. So for me, it's ultra powerful. And the benefits is this, the benefits, especially the reflection journaling at the end of the day. Reflection journaling is about practicing acceptance and gratitude. And that leads to a default state of fearlessness, where you go to sleep in a default state of fearlessness, which is step 5 in the circle of conscious living. And then you wake up and have the audacity and the boldness to have new goals and dreams and actions, because the, you know, the cycle repeats itself every morning. So the benefits are you'll be able to process, you will be able to surrender to any outcomes. So if you've woken up with goals and dreams and you've taken action, you can't control the outcome, what happens through the day. You can't control, you know, what people thought of you in the meeting or how you felt after a workout, or whether you initiated intimacy with a partner and they rejected you, or whether you called a friend to go somewhere and they didn't call you back. So journaling has the benefit of stepping into a state of, I don't care.
Yeah.
I don't care. I've done my best and I let life do the rest. It allows you to step into a state of surrender where you don't judge what happens in the day as good or bad. You don't care. You've done your bit and whatever happens. And that's how I run my business. Mm. I don't wake up every day and say, well, how much money did we make today? Or, you know, how many new clients do we have? I don't care about those outcomes, but I do care about what goals and dreams I have. I do care about the actions I take. But then journaling allows me to step into that state of complete and utter acceptance. So when bad things happen throughout the day and I journal at the end of the day, I say, okay, what can I do tomorrow to reverse that? What can I, or if I can't, what can I do to learn from it? Or 3, if I can't reverse it or learn from it, then I just got to trust that somehow, somewhere, sometime, the universe will reward me in some other way. Maybe it's not right for me at this point in time. Maybe the person that rejected me is someone that I don't need in my life. You know, maybe the client I lost isn't a client that is good for my business. We don't know what the universe has in store for us. You really just got to have complete trust. So the benefit of journaling allows you to process acceptance a lot better than not journaling. And the other benefit is journaling allows you to step into a state of gratitude. So the fourth step in a circle of conscious living, when you journal at the end of the day, is simply write down what things happened to you in the eight areas of life that you should be grateful for. And it's just a simple, you know, little thing. So I don't mean, you know, listing your gratitude every day, your gratitude, you know, your macro gratitude list. Say, what happened today? What meal did you get to enjoy? What friend, you know, connect with that you can be grateful for? Someone that called you, or maybe what podcast did you listen to, you know, that someone took the time to produce that you learned maybe, you know, out of 60 minutes, you learned one little piece of wisdom that's added value. That's what I step into in my journal. I just look for those little nuggets of things that I should be grateful for, that we shouldn't take for granted. And the benefit is a huge happiness payout. And then last thing in the day that's not in my journal is I listen to some comedy and go to sleep with a smile on my face and then wake up and do it all again.
Love it. Absolutely love it. It's something you'll have come across yourself, but it's funny when people talk about nuggets of wisdom and how sometimes you can plan things and you get very intellectual. And then other times someone asks you a question and just this spontaneous answer just comes out without any intellect getting in the way. And the first thing you said when I asked you that last question was, and this is gold, I'm going to remember this, journaling is therapy without you having to pay for it. I love that. And it's true. It is absolutely true. It is therapy without us having to pay for it. So I think that is an absolutely beautiful point to finish on. Sam, thank you so much for your, not only your time, but your wisdom. Thank you very much again, buddy.
That's absolute pleasure. And for everyone that's listening, live consciously, my friends. Namaste.
Namaste.
So I hope you enjoyed this week's episode and took in a lot of valuable information and tips on how you too can successfully journal each and every day. So until next week, as always, live consciously, my friends.